sir. This is Brandon.
And this is Q.
Welcome to the King Mean Pod, where we explore the challenges and victories of modern men. Each week, we discuss topics like mental health, relationships, career growth, fitness, and masculinity. Our aim is to inspire personal development and promote balance through uplifting stories and practical advice. Listen, if you have Instagram, make sure you tap into KingMean_podcast. Also, we got a Facebook group called KingMean Podcast. Make sure y'all, you know, it's a link in there where you can kind of click and put in any, you know, if you want to hear any particular subjects or anything or suggestions, you can kind of, you know, put whatever you feel like in the link or whatnot. Just give us some feedback, man. We're trying to get better with, you know, recording and everything else, and make sure we answer people's questions and stuff like that, man. So, you know, we're making a difference.
Right, right. We ain't talking to just hear ourselves talk. So give us some feedback. Let us know some.
Yeah, yeah. Facts. Q, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Can't complain. Doing pretty good. Okay. Life is going pretty well. How about you?
Man, I'm in the grind right now. I'm in the grind. I can't really go into too much details, but, you know. On the other end, it's definitely a testimony. You know what I'm saying?
But, yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're gonna go with that. But for the most part, before I came up here, man, I just got finished talking to my daughter. And I'm gonna tell you what, she blessed me today by telling me this, man. But we were just talking. She normally go to work on Wednesday. Well, she normally go to work on Wednesdays. And basically, she kind of had a day off or whatnot. And so I said, you might as well come to the gym with me. She said, Dad. She started laughing. She said, yeah, I should come to the gym. But I'm gonna take one thing at a time right now. I'm prioritizing my relationship with God.
Oh, that's big. That's major.
Man, listen.
That's major.
And so, you know, we got to talking and stuff like that, man. And she said she got this this prayer journal. And on the prayer journal, She started reading. Well, I guess she said she dedicated 30 minutes to God every day. You know what I'm saying? So, and in her prayer journal, this particular scripture she wrote, Romans 8:28.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got finished. It's a scripture that everybody knows, but you know, I ain't paid no attention, and I'm gonna read it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And she wrote that out there. And she just kind of been writing stuff out, man. And then she said what blessed her was she was scrolling through TikTok and a lady was teaching about that particular scripture. And she was like, wow. She said, Dad, I don't know what that mean. I said, baby girl, that just means you're on path for where you're supposed to be at.
Right, that's confirmation.
That's confirmation so, where you're supposed to be at.
So for you as a dad, how does that make you feel? Like what, like when you heard that, when she tell you that, what's your feeling?
Man, honestly, Q, man, the way I really felt about that, man, I was just so proud of her, man. And you know, it just she be looking, she be watching. And she paying attention, you know what I'm saying? And you know, not that I make, like, going to church or, you know, I mean, certain, you know, I don't make it like you should go to church, you know what I'm saying? I don't hit her over the head with God.
Right, you don't force it on her.
Yeah, I don't force it on her, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, it's you know, I have, like, little talks with her and stuff like that, and her moms do too, but it's just like, man, she, you know what I'm saying, she at that age now, she's 17. She at the age now, she have a personal relationship with God, and she trying to develop a personal relationship with God. So it's like, for me, I'm like, man, I mean, she just told me that today, man. That, you know, not before I came up here, and then, like, I'm on cloud nine just to hear that.
You should be, because at that age, it's a lot of other things that could be, you know, grabbing her, and for that to be intentional, that she's doing that intentionally.
Yeah,
man, that shout out to y'all as parents, because you know, like, it's an old ad, and the child was getting fussed out by his parents for doing something, And the child was like, I learned it from watching you, okay?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, just because you don't, you know, force it on her, obviously she sees it in her home life. She sees it with you and with her mom. So, you know, man, shout out to y'all. That's big. Yeah, yeah. That's big.
Yeah, man. And she came to we had Bible study. They had EPIT is for the teenagers and stuff like that, man. She even came out there and brought one of her friends.
Oh, that's good.
To come out there, you know, and they did like a little vision board, you know, for an hour. So that was pretty dope, man.
Definitely, man. Shout out to y'all, shout out to her, and most of all, yeah. Shout out to God for that, man.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm still on cloud nine.
You should be.
Yeah, I'm still on cloud nine.
Because at 17, like, what were you thinking? What was I thinking at 17? Like, I knew about church and all, but I wasn't really
far away.
Yeah, trying to develop a relationship or anything like that. So at 17, man, that's major.
Yeah, I agree. That is major, man. But what you got going on your end, man? How everything, family and, you know, work?
Man, the family as well. Work is work. You know how that go.
Yeah.
Got some stuff brewing, you know, as far as career.
Okay.
But once it develop, I'll be able to talk about it a little bit more. But, man, just trying to progress and be intentional about growing and not being stagnant and getting comfortable. So, but above all, before God and trying to move, you know, with his purpose,
right.
When I'm praying for anything, you know, I'm saying if it's his will, because a lot of times we could get fed up on the job or, you know, things ain't going the way we want them to go, and we just up and move. We don't consult God or nothing. We just up and move. Then you find yourself like, this ain't really what I thought it was. So I'm just trying to stay before God, you know, and just move off what he tell me to do.
Man, listen, you know what? One of the struggles that I kind of struggle with, bro, before I start working where I was at, even though that was like 15 years ago, basically, I heard God said this place is going to be a stepping stone, you know what I'm saying, to prepare me to my next, whatever that next is, my life. And, you know, the thing is, you don't know God timing, where he moved. So you can be somewhere for 15 years, and then in your mind, you know, it's just so long, right? Well, in my mind, I felt like that, like I'm hearing God, like he wanted me to stay here this long, you know what I'm saying? And next thing I know, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, I'm looking for other jobs and stuff like that, man, looking. And I just realized, like, some of the, like, in the Bible days, you know what I'm saying, the Old Testament days, man, some of these people, man, been God, like Abraham, you know what I'm saying, God promised him a child, and like that was like years later before he even got a child.
But it's just like, you know, God,
you be thinking about that tomorrow, like, okay, right. Like next year,
but
know.
See, that's our problem a lot of times, because the Bible clearly tells us his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his time is not our time.
Yeah.
So, and that's human. Like, I don't care the type of relationship you have with God, you're still a human. So if God tells us something, we're a microwave society. We wanted instant gratification. But sometimes he'll show you where you should be, but he's not going to show you the in-between. He's not going to show you, like, I'm going to sit you in here for 10, 15 years.
And you don't know when to move. Like, I'm supposed
right.
to move?
Right.
What I'm supposed to be doing here?
Right. And so we get in our mind, like, well, maybe then we start questioning, like, well, did he really tell me to do that? Do he really? So, man, that's why I feel like the relationship with God is so important, man, especially, you know, in your walk in life in general, because, man, moving toward your own understanding, that's why the Bible said lean not towards your own understanding, because if it was left up to me, I'm not going to even lie to you, my attitude is horrible. First time somebody met me, about to find me something else.
I'm gone.
About to find me something else. But the mature person in me know that ain't the way to go. Cause I done been down that road where
you did a relationship like that?
Let me see. like what you mean?
Like, you know, if somebody didn't do something that you wanted to do, like, nah, this ain't gonna work.
Like, but in a relationship,
like
not
in the
really.
Past.
Not really.
That's how I did my relationships. It wasn't working, I'm like, this ain't it.
I'm more of a, like, when it comes to like my relationships outside of like my woman, I'm like that in those relationships. Okay. Like with the woman, I'm more of a teacher, and I understand like it takes a little bit more time, and I'm working toward, you know, I'm working through trauma and all of that stuff. So I'm more of a teacher in those type of relationships. But like homeboy, if we ain't seeing eye to eye, like, okay, I'm trying to put you on game and you still doing knucklehead stuff, all right, I'm done with that. Like, I ain't beefing with you, but I can no longer like associate like I was doing. Okay. Like, so I'm quick with those type of relationships. As far as like the woman, I'm a lot more patient.
Yeah. Hey, well, since we on, you know, we talking about that, man, just going back to what we was talking about, being patient and I guess in the wilderness, what you call it, wilderness, or in the space, place where God got you at. Like, what are some ways in, you know, that you probably seen in your life that you had to be patient at and try not to add yourself into it and allow God to kind of, you know what I'm saying, move and not move, but yeah, move for you, you know what I'm saying? Or you wait for him to say, well, now, this is what you should do, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes I think the struggle is, you know, like, what next? Because, you know, God gives you instructions, and then you be like, well, okay, now you did it, and then you waiting, like, what next?
Honestly, I'm in that period right now as we speak. I'm in that period right now. But I'm not perfect, but I've disciplined myself because of mistakes in the past to wait, because I'm, like I said, I'm in that space now where I'm trusting God and I'm having to wait. But I've in the past, I've moved on my own pace, on my own accord, and it was losses behind that. So
okay.
I've learned to, you know, just a quick synopsis of what I'm talking about, man. I was trying to start a business, and I asked God, I was like, you know, I prayed, but when I prayed with the intent of trying to play God low-key. Like, I pray, like, Lord, if it ain't meant to be, don't let this go through. The first time it didn't go through, that was my answer, because that's what I prayed.
Right.
But myself, I said, man, I'm just going to try somebody else. And it went through for the next one. So I really thought I had one up God, honestly. And I'm just being honest. Right. I really thought I one up him, because I knew when I prayed what I was going to do. So in my mind, acting out of pride, I got it to work. I made it happen. So, okay. God said, bet. All right, so go about the journey. You know, I'm thinking everything going smooth. Man, by the end of it all, I lost everything I saved and everything I put into it. And for the longest, I was like, man, I was kind of mad. Well, I wasn't kind of mad. I was furious, angry. And I was like, God, what was I supposed to? I'm one of those people. If you go through something, you never take a loss. It's only lessons.
Yeah.
So I'm like, for the longest, I'm like, God, what was I supposed to learn out of this? And for almost a year and a half, I never received the answer. So one day, I'm driving to work, and clear as day, it was like a little small voice. You didn't wait on me. You did this yourself. And I'm like, when I thought about it all, I said, yo, I did say that prayer, and it didn't go through the first time, and that's what I prayed, but I acted out of pride, and I went and did it. So yeah, so now I'm learning to be more patient. That's why, like, for instance, if I was to go to a job interview today, I'm not about to pray, Lord, let me get this job. Lord, if it's your will and this job is going to be good for me and my future, let me get the job. And if I don't get it, I'm like the Apostle Paul in the Bible. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. I might not like it. And it's a work in progress to learn to be content. But if I pray that prayer and he don't move when I want him to move, that's his will, and I got to respect that. So that's how I try to live it now.
Man, I made me think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know, he was praying, and even during that time, and you know, he said, and we know what he was praying about, you know, because I think he. God already showed him his path, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't really, I ain't say he didn't really want to go through it with it, but, you know, you can't, so for some scholars, they say that, you know what I'm saying? But truthfully, he was like, you know what I'm saying? He was praying, he didn't get no answer, you know what I'm saying? And then he can't respond with what God, not my will, but thine will be done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, sometimes it's an answer in silence. You know what I'm saying? It's an answer in just being silent.
You dropped the gem right there now.
Because truthfully, you know what I'm saying? God already, from the beginning, already gave him the instruction from the beginning. Already told him what his path was.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like you just said, sometimes we can kind of pray and go another route. And that's when God gets silent. Because now you entering your will now. You know what I'm saying?
You have taken him out of the equation, and there is no need for him.
Yeah.
Like, my bad. Yeah. But a lot of times I feel like that's what we do. We take him out of the equation, and when it goes to shambles, do you want to invite him back in?
Yeah.
No, let him lead the way from the start. So you ain't got to invite him back in, because either way it goes, you ain't gonna play him. You ain't going, for lack of a better word, you can't prostitute God. You can't say, well, I'm going to use him right now. I'm going to use him when I need him. But, you know, when I get off and I don't need him no more.
Yeah.
You think you playing him. That's Alpha and Omega. He know the beginning and the end. So you can't play him.
Why not
let him leave from the beginning? Don't try to invite him back in.
Man, God, an OG, man. He be like, okay, then, you want to do it yourself? Well, go ahead and do it yourself. You know what I'm saying?
And I had to learn the hard way.
Like we all do, man. It's so many life lessons that I done my own. But, man, what I love about God is he take what we done our own and he add himself to it and make it much more better, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, go ahead.
So I and speaking on what you were speaking on, you know, about his plans, it's a verse from Jeremiah 29:11, and it states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." Like, so he already got it mapped out.
Yeah.
It's just we ain't doing what we supposed to do. We trying to take his place. So he already got the plans for us. You know, we just got to, and it's.
I'm talking about from the beginning.
From the beginning, from the inception.
Like before we was born, you know what I'm saying? Like he had it already mapped out, you know, and a lot of times, you know, when we come, you know what I'm saying, when the spirit enter the body, sometimes I don't know if it's true or not. Sometimes the spirit come from out of heaven, enter into the body, into the womb, and then for some odd reason, we just kind of, you know, I guess as we get raised up, you know what I'm saying, sometimes we kind of get off path of what our purpose was from the very beginning when we enter here, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was reading something today, Dr. Miles Monroe. He said when he created the world, he created it just for us, you know what I'm saying? Because he had us in mind first.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had us in mind first, that's when he created the world, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And then he placed everything around us, you know what I'm saying, in the world, just so we can have everything that we need, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how much he loves us, you know what I'm saying? And what's so more important when I think about it is the fact that, you know, the first, you know, the creation really started in God's mind first.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it first. You know what I'm saying? When he thought it first, then he put it into action. And, you know, and Genesis almost show you know what I'm saying, the very mind of God himself, you know what I'm saying,
right,
the creator, in a sense. If you kind of read through it and have that mindset when you're reading through Genesis, you know what I'm saying, that you enter in God's mind. He's showing you his mind in the very beginning, how he think and stuff like that. And when you kind of think about it, he already had everything planned for us. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes
right.
we just lose our purpose of what we really here for. You know what I'm saying? How we did that is through, you know, Adam, you know, Eve sinned, and then we kind of got off path. But throughout all of that, he still had brought Jesus to bring us right back into good grace with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the battle's already won. A lot of times, the thing is, we just got to get out of ourselves. A lot of times. A lot of times, we just kind of be so stuck on ourselves, trying to make our own plans. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to the creator, you know what I'm saying, who the designer, the manufacturer, you know what I'm saying, that
right.
created us. I mean, he got the manual for our life. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We got to go to him. He got the manual for our life, you know what I'm saying? So
right, and I think one of the biggest things with that is, with him being who he is and giving us all of that, he gave you free will, he gave you choice, and that's the biggest thing. What do you do with your choice? Because he said, I'm standing at the door of your heart knocking. Let him in. But like at the end of the day, he's not going to force himself in. So to me, like when you speak on the mind, like as you were speaking, I'm thinking like, man, it's program. Like when you were speaking about your daughter, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, yo, a lot of what we thinking comes with programming. Like we're programmed to be go-getters.
Yeah.
But inside of that being programmed to be a go-getter, it becomes like, I'm such a go-getter that I delete Jesus and God out of the whole equation.
Yeah.
We got to be go-getters, but we also have to be stewards and students and let him lead. So that trained thought of, I'm a go-getter, that's great. Because faith without works is dead. We know that.
Right. Yeah.
But let him lead. You can be a go-getter, but you can follow God at the same time and follow his lead. So
Dad, I'm sitting here thinking about it. We just kind of answer everything, like what we do when we're in the season of like God already gave us instruction. And when we're in the season of waiting, what should we do? You know what I'm saying? I think some good ways, some practical ways where a person can do when they feel like, you know, what's next is I just think if you feeling that, what's like, what I do next, think first, fast, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, and while you fasting, pray, you know what I mean? And then while you doing all of that, sometimes you just got to sit still, you know what I mean? And right. Moments before you make a move, you know, and you end up have to backtrack, you know what I'm saying? Even right. Though God's still going to give you grace and do it all if you do things on your own. But I think the most important thing is to fast, pray, and just be silent and allow God to just speak to your mind sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, it's difficult to even be silent in moments where your brain got just trying to find ways to make a way out of nowhere. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And once you get to that point in your life where you can kind of just be silent, because that's what God calling me to be in this season. Just be silent and let him speak. Allow the Holy Spirit, training my spiritual ears to be in tune to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, and how you do that is by reading your word. Reading the word more and more and more. And you know what I'm saying? For me, I can't be looking at, I mean, you can look at TV, but a lot of times that can be distraction. Certain music can be distraction. You listen to that. And then, you know, that's the reason why I just think that you just got to start hearing the word of God, hearing the more word of God, reading the word of God. And so by the time you in your subconscious, all that stuff gets soaked in your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you do hear, you're going to hear the word of God speaking to you. You know what I'm saying?
That's why the Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart. So in those times, you know, like you said, subconsciously, you might not even be thinking about it, but it comes and it's like, yo, like something that you read in that Bible or something that you heard during the time when you need it, it comes out of the blue.
Yeah.
And you be like, man, it'd be a lot of times in the morning time when I send something to the group.
Yeah.
Man, I'd be in my time with God and it just, or I could be driving to work and the scripture would come to my mind like, yo.
It's something about that quiet time.
That's crazy. And that's when I get most of my stuff, like when I'm quiet. Yes.
That see, quiet time is, boy.
It's different.
But you receive answers, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, in the quiet times. Bro, like I'm just thinking about it, man. I'm just kind of getting kind of excited about how God just, as we continue to focus on him, and this season, I'm telling you, with everything going around now here, Q, I went to the doctor the other day. The doctor said we got like 5 different viruses going around like right Whoa. Now. You know what I'm saying? That he been seeing coming through the doctor office. You got that. We got the 2025, you know, project, you know,
right.
that's coming up, and man, the nation just like really need God right now.
Exactly. But I also want to go back to something else you said, silence. And, you know, we live in a time now where it's a lot of noise, but most people thrive off noise. Like, most people are afraid to be alone. They need a crowd around them. Since I kind of been young, I kind of been like able to do my own thing. Like, I don't need 100 homeboys. If I go somewhere, I don't got to be 20, 30 deep, man. And those silent moments, like, I think you will be surprised that if you turn the radio off, you turn the music off, don't be on the phone, don't be texting, and you just ride in silence, and your mind get to thinking, your subconscious start things you might not even be thinking, like, okay, this about to come to me. Man, you could be riding down the road and just, yo, what you want to be when you go? What you want to be? Like, what you want to do with your life? Like, dang, where this thought coming from? That silence breathes, like, to me, it just breathes, like, a freshness, like, and that's what we have to do, because you can't get so caught up in the distractions, because that's what they are, distractions. And what Satan to do is he'll use everything. If you ever notice in church, you could be, I said this before, you could be on the way about to have a breakthrough. Somebody phone to ring. Somebody get up, walk past you. Those distractions are what keep your eyes off of God. Hey. And if I could distract you, then I can get you to stop focusing on what you need to be focusing on.
Oh, man. Q, I'm laughing right now, bro, because a couple weeks ago, I was on my Instagram thing went off. And, man, when I had click on my Instagram, man, it was Lil Duval, man. Lil Duval.
Funny little dude.
Yo,
little dude.
Yo, Lil Duval had on a good old church Sunday. This dude posts a female bouncing it behind while I was in church, yo. That just blew me, yo. And just that fact, I said, you know what? I ain't never getting on Instagram again while I'm in church. Never. Ever.
But you see how quick that thinking. And I'm gonna be honest, we all human. You can have You can have all the guy you want, but you see something like that, like, hey, boy. And your mind starts to rolling. Yeah. And just that quick, you done got distracted. That's why when I'm in church, you'll never see me with my phone. I don't go live. I don't check no comments. I'm not really even on social media like that. But I don't, if it's a call, it got to wait at the church. If it's a text, it got to wait at the church. Because I know how important distractions are to your walk with God, to your walk in your career path. I know how important distractions are, because really that's the only tool that Satan can use is a distraction.
Right.
Because, I mean, okay, let's say.
Man, he been around here forever, so he already know how the human think.
And got all the tools.
Yeah.
And it's the crazy part. He know the Bible too. Because when Jesus was, when he went and tempted Jesus, he quoted some scripture to him. So he got all the tools and the techniques. But the main one is distraction, because if I can get you unfocused on what you're supposed to be doing, then I'm good. I ain't got nothing to worry about. So my thing is, like, minimizing this year, I want people to be more intentional on actually minimizing distractions. Get off social media.
Like, get off social media.
That's get off social one. Media. Stop doing the friend thing all the time. You be a good friend, but hey, I can't be your dumping ground today. I'm trying to hear from God. This week right here, I'm gonna cut my social life down a little bit, because I'm trying to hear from God. It's something I need. I'm trying to hear.
And you know, I want to add to that one. On to get off social media. Stop venting to social media.
Oh my God.
Stop venting to social media, man.
Funny moment, bro. Like, funny moment.
And vent to God.
I'm telling you, bro, because I'm gonna tell you a funny moment. Yo, the weirdest thing to me be like when folks get on social media and got real tears coming down their eyes. Like, I'm really so sad right now. Like,
talking about why they recording this.
Yeah, like, bro, like, that don't make sense to me, dog. I'll be like, bro, so you really took the time to, like, cry tears and put
it. I'm talking about putting the camera.
I'm telling you, make sure the angle right. Like, dang that. Like, bro, like, and I'm sure they sit at home like, nah, that's not a good one. Let me redo it. And then that one and the going live fussing. Like, there's nobody. It's not like we're live and we're in front of each other. I'm on the camera hard out, like, just, like, going off. Like, bro, that's weird to me.
Yeah, that's.
That's very weird. Like, that's how you know you're giving social media too much attention. If social media can see that emotion in you. Yeah. And sometimes, now, granted, I'm going to say this. Sometimes when someone is giving a testimony or something like that, they may come to tears. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about some some things are cries out for help. Like, those are cries for help. I get that. But, like, okay, a post on social media. Lord, I miss my dog so much, man. It's just, I don't know what to do without my dog. I think I might lose it.
Like, you be like, bro, who they talking to? When they writing it out.
Right.
I mean, like, who they talking to?
Like, you want some
a like
certain
Facebook,
person?
It, like, but I guess my thing is, for some people, Facebook and all these other social media platforms is a real place, man. Twitter. People really think Twitter is a real place.
And it's so crazy because all these social media sites, I can put whatever I want up there and really lead you to any thought process that I want you to have because of the influence of it. So it's somewhat a dangerous tool if it's not used the right way. That's why I always say, you know, if you're really serious about and you're intentional about, you know, getting answers and you know, just, you know, finding a way, you know, limit that distraction, because everybody's natural. You get on social media, Facebook, Instagram, any of that, and before you know it, I'm just getting on the check and see if I got any notifications. An hour done passed by. You sitting on the toilet. You get up, your leg, you can't even stand up because you got the dead legs. You done spend an hour doing that. But if I ask the average person, I'm not going to even say a Bible, because most people, they anti-religion. Have you read a book this year? No.
No.
But I guarantee you, you done sat on that toilet for 30. I guarantee you done got the dead legs on social media this year.
That thumb been scrolling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It been, hey.
Did you read it? Okay, you on social media talking about your mental health ain't good. Have you read anything about, you know, something that might help with that?
Right.
No. But you on Facebook every hour out of the day telling us your mental health ain't good. What are you doing to combat that? Have you prayed about it? Have you sought counseling? Have you sought a therapist?
So, I don't want to get off subject because this is so, so good. You know, what we talking about. I really don't want to get off subject. But since we talking about social media and everything else, I'm thinking about, like, the people, the influencers that have, like, millions of views, millions of subscribers. And, like, they end up, when you read on the news, famous TikTok influencer commit suicide. Like, and then they be the main ones who be giving people positive stuff, man. I be like, what's really going on? Man, listen, it's so many influencers killing themselves, man. Like, they end up dying. I don't know what's going on. Q, what going on, bro?
To me, in my mind, status, money, none of that really heals what's wrong with a person. With that, you got to understand something. When you got millions of subscribers, millions of dollars, something as simple as, hey, B, you good today? You don't get that no more.
Yeah, that's true.
If somebody talking to B, it might start out, B, you good? Yeah, I'm good. How about you? Well, man, my light's about to get cut off. Sob story. They want something from you. Nobody really checks on your well-being anymore. Even for those people that's 100% positive, if you always pouring out and pouring into other people and your cup is never being refilled, then you get empty. And when they say it's lonely at the top, that's a real thing. Like I said, nobody ain't checking on your well-being. When I'm talking to B, I'm trying to get something out of B. Hey, man, whatever it may be, you don't get people checking on your well-being anymore.
You don't.
So when you got a problem, everybody sees you as this strong Superman, but nobody is checking to see if Superman is all right. So even the strong get weak sometimes. Even Jesus, he got tempted. And even Jesus at the well with the woman from Samaria, he stopped at the well because he grew weary in his journey. So if Jesus got weary, what make you think because somebody got a million followers, a million subscribers, millions of dollars, that they ain't getting weary? But nobody checks on those people.
Nobody checks on them, man. You.
So with that being said, I want to put this message out. Check on people, man. Give them a well check. Like, and we ain't talking about no, I'm just trying to see how you, no, bro, talk to me. You good? Notice patterns. Notice behaviors. Like, notice, like, man, this person, and I ain't talking about the social media thing because we don't know these people, but real life people, like, if you in those famous people corner, check on them. See how they really doing. Like, because everybody normally give this answer. Hey, how you doing, Q? I'm good, bro. And I could be going through mental turmoil.
Yeah.
I would love it if somebody that's really close to me say, man, how you doing? All right, man, I'm good. Bro, you ain't good. I know the real you. Bro, you ain't good. Check on your people. See how they really doing. Pray for your people. Even when I pray, man, I always add, Lord, please meet people at the point of their need, the things they don't even talk about, the things they don't discuss, because that covers a lot of things. So meet people at the point of their need when I'm praying for them. But check on everybody, man, because even the strong get weak sometimes. And that's pretty much, that's what I think about that.
Well, since you're saying that, I'm going to tell you, I be needing that though, bro. Like, just being transparent, you know, sometimes I get really frustrated with the fact that as a man, I feel like I can't vent, you know what I'm saying, without being labeled as a sissy or, you know, emotional, you know what I'm saying? I remember, I can go back, man. It's no disrespect to my parents, man. I love them a whole lot, but.
Oh, hold on, I love this one right here. I love this topic here. Let's go.
But you know, I remember a time when I used to be emotional. I used to cry, you know what I'm saying? And man, my mama used to say, boy, soak that up, man. My daddy used to be like, boy, you just stop doing all that damn crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're a boy. You ain't supposed to cry. And so even during that time, man, I kind of, you know, soak it up. And, you know, I'm the oldest in my family. But what I realized is, like, I kept a whole, like, how I felt, I kept that to myself, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I get kind of emotional just thinking about it because, honestly, you know, I don't necessarily feel like I have a space where I can vent and be honest and be in my raw, authentic feelings without being judged. I don't have that space. And it's one of the reasons why I created King Me Podcast is because, you know, it was a safe place for people could, you know, men could come on and be real, you know what I'm saying, about right. How they feel, a platform where they can, you know, to be real. So basically, I just couldn't get right, man. And honestly, like it saddens me because now even as a grown man, you know, and married, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like, you know, within my marriage, I can't really be as, you know what I'm saying, you know, be vulnerable in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Because right. all my life I had to be strong. You know what I'm saying? Like I just had to be strong, bro. And for whatever reason, whatever lie that is, I mean, it really is a lie, man. It kind of sets you up. And then you just feel like you're alone by yourself because you can't really vent to nobody. You know what I'm saying? And which kind of, you know, pushed me into a space where I kind of start seeking, you know, validation in a sense, you know.
Right.
And try to seek validation and I guess, you know, to make me feel better, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's a real feeling, man. I ain't even gonna lie, man. And I just, you know what I'm saying, I just hate it. I ain't never really told nobody that. This is my first time ever putting it out there like that. But, you know what I'm saying, that's just my raw, authentic feelings right now. You know what I mean?
Okay, so to that, I wholeheartedly mean this. And I'm not just saying this for no clickbait, for no, because it sound good, none of that. I wholeheartedly mean this. If you ever need to talk to me, bro, talking to me is like talking to this wall in a sense. You'll never hear it again. And I want to say this. As men, we got to find a safe space to be able to, you know, kind of put our feelings on the table, because it's a lot to withhold everything that you go through and never be able to speak on it. And I want parents to stop doing this too, because this is that trauma thing that I was telling you about. From the time you're little, you're told, if you fall and you cry, man, you ain't supposed to be crying. You a boy, you ain't supposed to be crying. So what that teaches the child is, as a male, the only emotion that you can show is toughness, anger. So that toughness ends up being the only thing that, so when you get in a relationship, you can't communicate. You don't know how to talk to nobody. You don't even know how to be in touch with the other side besides anger. So you see a lot of these young people, and they got a lot of built up rage. that started from a child, and parents think they're doing their child justice by saying, oh, don't cry, you're a man. You're doing your child a disservice, because when your child can't communicate, they don't know how to be vulnerable. They don't know how to, you know, communicate their feelings. Like, okay, so if you with your old lady or whatever, she could do something simple, but because you always being told, suck it up, you don't ever go talk about it. And from the start of the relationship to the end of it, there's this gap. I heard this on Instagram. There's a gap. The gap of non-communication. By the time she communicated, she's so fed up. You never communicated. She never communicated. So nobody communicated. But it's been taught to us since we were little. Suck it up. You don't say nothing. Whatever you're going through, bro, you suck it up. And you doing your child a disservice by even teaching them that, by even letting them believe that that's the way that life should be. So as a man, we got to find safe spaces for us to be. Like, it's cool to chat through text and all that, but we need to get together with like-minded men to be able to say, hey, bro, man, listen, bro, I'm having it tough, and I've been going through this right here. I've been going through that. A judgment-free zone where you can sit up there and talk to your brothers, and ain't no judgment, because every man, everybody got something that they're going through, whether they tell you or not. It's just almost no man feels safe saying it around nobody else. But if we all take the cape off, we human. We Clark Kent. We ain't Superman. If we all take that cape off, we all got feelings. We all feeling something. So I feel like it's up to us to find a way to create a safe space for us to be able to speak. Because a lot of people get overloaded with pressure because they can't release that pressure. We can't, like, as a man, let's be real. Can we go and say anything that appears to be soft to our brother? Man, get out of here with that soft stuff, bro. When we were growing up, man,
it's a culture thing.
Right. We couldn't really even say, if you had a girlfriend at 16 or 17, man, I think I love her. Man, get out of here with that soft stuff. Bro, that's not soft. That's a human emotion.
Yeah.
Like, bro, that's real.
Yeah, like, that is.
So we got to get to a point where we have people that we're around where we could really be open and be real with them. Like, as a man, I don't feel like you should always be on no thing like super macho. I don't like no super macho people around me. You don't got to be super macho to be, bro, you a real human. You feel something, bro, you feel it. You ain't got to be super macho to be around me. Yeah. I don't like those type of people because you being fake. There is nobody that's super macho all the time. You not strong, man, all the time,
That's the household I came out of.
Nah, dog.
Man, my dad is, I promise to God, boy, like, you met my dad.
Yeah.
But if you ever been around him, I promise you, he going to go through them war stories, how he didn't kill like 100 people. He like super soldier of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, he keep going on and on and on. Like, he like a super alpha male, like, to the max.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So imagining that and then being raised around that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And me, I got like, you know, I ain't no simp. Well, I don't even know what a simp is, but what is a simp?
Hey, man, a simp is a weakling, bro.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but I ain't no simp. But I got feelings.
Everybody,
you know,
does, yeah.
But like, being raised around pops, man, like, you couldn't allow no feeling, boy. You couldn't even make a joke. We couldn't even laugh around him.
And no disrespect, because it's a lot of people that go through that. No disrespect when I say this, but you see what it did. That's why some generational curses are meant to be, I ain't gonna even say curses, generational trauma. It's got to be broken at some point. It's got to be broken
generational
somewhere.
Generational behavior.
Yeah, and that trauma, that's trauma. Because I'm sure at some point he couldn't show emotion. So I'm gonna keep passing that down. My daddy taught me not to show that. My daddy taught me not to show that. So it goes and goes till somebody says, you know what? It ain't worked for none of us, really and truly. It made us strong, but that's the only emotion we can show is strength, even when you feel weak and vulnerable. If it's to the point where my closest people, I can't really even speak on that because I'm taught to be a soldier, that's the problem. Nobody's a soldier all the time, bro.
Man, that not more when I think about it, though, Q, for some of them, it's generational, like a culture, like with how they've been raised, and what was going on during that time. And I realized, like, they, you know what I'm saying, they had it. They, for them, they felt like they had to have that mentality to even make it through certain times when it was kind of going through, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. that's how they survived. And a lot of times they've been surviving that way, survival mode. That's a whole nother topic right there, operating in survival mode. But because they was in survival mode, you know what I'm saying, they just didn't know how to even let their guard down no more because it became a lifestyle for them.
So even with that, okay, if it's generational, and that may be 100% true that they had to live like that, but that, okay, so I'm going to go I'm going to come back to this, but I'm going to go financial route. If you see that the way that your parents taught you how to deal with finances ain't really work, are you going to keep on passing that? Or at some point, you're going to be like...
A lot of times, you don't know until you about 40. You're like, dang.
You don't know until you about 40. But listen, at some point, you start passing it down a different way. Like, hey, listen, I was never taught this, but I'm going to teach y'all this.
That's
so at some point, you got to break it. Like, that's why I want all parents to understand. Allow them kids, even boys, like most of the hardest rap guys or young YNs that they call them, most of them people lack love because they don't feel love. They never felt love. All they felt was hardness. So if that's how you ever felt, that's what you're going to be. But at some point, we have to break it down and be like, yo, this ain't healthy. It's not healthy. I don't care what nobody say. And I understand that mentality helps you in life. It does. But, bro, everybody needs to have some type of person that they could, you know, talk to. As a man, and it's hard for us because, like you said, you show emotions, you soft. Like, even to the fact of 16 and 17, you around your older cousins, your uncle, you know, I think I might love my girl. Man, get out of here with that soft. Bro, you're talking about your female. And I understand it may be puppy love. I understand that.
Man, they be coming from, people be giving, like, what I realize now, you know, older people, like, say, for instance, you know, like, their marriage probably was horrible. You know, they ain't did good in relationship, no relationship they been in. Then you got a little kid coming up, puppy love. Man, for one, I think they low-key be hating. And two, they be giving advice out their own trauma or their own lifestyle, like how they been living. So if you ain't value, you know what I'm saying, relationship or anything like that, you definitely not going to give nobody no good advice about that because the way you look at it is, you know, it's horrible. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When it feel like women hoes out there and all, because you experienced that. And now you giving other people advice about that. You know what I'm saying? Right.
And that's why I feel like.
Make them feel like not to trust no female and stuff like that. You know, that's how they kind of be passing stuff on.
But that's why I think, you know, platforms like this is important, you know, to be able to kind of change the narrative, like hear it from a different perspective. Because, you know, like if you always hearing, man, A, you might need to hear a different perspective that say, nah, look at it this way. Look at the B, look at the C. Because all your life you've been hearing it, look at the A. So that's why I feel like it's important for these type of platforms to, you know, for us to come in here and be honest, be open, be transparent. Because we don't know, somebody may listen to this and be like, yo, I never thought about so-and-so like this. And that's why I feel like it's important for us to be active in the community because we may be the only light that somebody sees. So it's important for us to, you know, to use our voice and use our influence. Even if you got a class of 100 people and you could touch 3 people, change their thought process to 3 people out of 100. Imagine if you didn't do that at all. You changed nobody. So I feel like it's important for us to get in the community and talk to these young fellas, like, really try to change the narrative.
Yeah, and I, you know, just, I guess, coming close on the time, this last, to add on to what you were just saying, man, not only getting in the community and doing the work, you know what I'm saying, but we, you know, we constantly got to do work within ourselves, you know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
Because, you know, it's, you know, a lot of times, you know, people may see me and see you and think highly of you, but they don't know how far we came and where we at now and how much more work we got to do to stay or be better, you know what I'm saying? And so a lot of times, you know, I just think this is how people just kind of shun the church and stuff like that because, you know, for one, I think we talk about this in one of the podcasts, we put people on pedestals. But the other thing is, you know, when you're on that pedestal and people seeing you, you know what I'm saying? Now, you know, people put you on, you know what I'm saying, in this box, you know what I'm saying, like you can't do nothing wrong or nothing like that. And we know we human, but I just think we got to recognize that people, there's somebody always watching us, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we constantly got to do better, you know, constantly we got to do better and recognize the platform that God allows to be on. It much bigger than our own esteem, you know what I'm saying?
Cause exactly. Sometimes
we kind of feel like we didn't made it. But most importantly, other people, you know what I'm saying, watching us and looking at us. And I think the Bible says something about, you know, woe to the ones who turn people away from him, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, whoa. I think that's in Book of Matthews, you know. And so we just always got to be careful of the platform that God allows to be on and make sure we ain't leading people away from him, you know what I'm saying, from
right.
God.
And so to that, I'm going to say, like my pastor always say, Pastor Sean Myers and Latifer Community Worship Center, I had to throw that in there. Y'all come visit us on Sunday, 9:30. Yeah. But, man, my pastor always tell us, don't miss your opportunity to witness. And a lot of times, witness don't come from what you say to people. It's what people see you do. And no, we'll never be perfect. But like you said, it's always being mindful of that somebody's watching you.
Somebody watching.
I'm going to tell you a quick story. Man, I was at a gas station one morning before I went to work. And it's a well-known preacher in the Dillon area. And so a lady needed some directions because she was from North Carolina. She was trying to get back to North Carolina. He was telling her how to get back to 95, but she wasn't really picking it up. This man went outside, got in his truck, and told the lady before he left out of the store, he said, follow me. I'll take you all the way to the road, and then I'll keep going, and you'll be able to get off. He didn't even know I was watching him, but that gave me a different type of respect for that guy. I said, man, no cameras, no nothing. And this is what he did. Like, that act right there, I said, yo. And it shined a light like, yo, somebody's always watching you, bro. No matter what you're doing, somebody's always watching you. Whether they're watching you to see if you're going to make a mistake or watching it to see if they can pattern their life after you. Like, is that somebody that I can pattern my life after? That's why, like, when I thought about, you know, creating like a big brother program for the youth in my community, like, anybody that wants to be a part of that, I'm going to have to vet you, because you only got one time to make a first impression, and you don't want to mess up your opportunity to witness. And no, we're not perfect. That's not what we're saying. Don't put us on no pedestal. But you got to be mindful of that when you dealing with young people, because they're very impressionable. And I can't tell you anything if I'm doing the same thing that I'm telling you about, because now I'm fraudulent. Now I'm fake. Now everything that's associated with me. Okay, I just plugged my church just now. If they see me doing anything crazy, everybody in that church is flawed. Everybody in church in general, the whole body of Christ takes a hit. My church take a hit. Everything I claim I stand for take a hit.
The family.
My family take a hit just because I wasn't mindful. And we're all going to make mistakes, but just be mindful that even with your mistakes, somebody's always watching you. So, you know, your first impression is everything. And then after that, every impression you make, they watching you.
Yeah, they always watching. So with that being said, I think it's another series. It should be another series, man. We got to continue on, especially talking about the trauma part, you know what I'm
saying? Most definitely. I think that's
like
important.
Like how it affect us and how it affect our community first, you know what I'm saying? So that's something that's going to be, we're going to put in the works. But do you want to do the word of the week or the day, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll
some good advice, man.
This off the fly. You caught me by surprise. For this week, man, I just say be intentional about, you know, limiting distractions and really focus and limit distractions. That's what I got for you.
I love it, man. Q, I appreciate you, my brother, man, and hopefully we can make this a regular thing. And for all my listeners, thank you for tuning in today. You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all love this episode or whatnot. If you do me a favor, make sure you click the 5-star and leave a review or anything. And make sure you check out my Instagram account on KingMe_podcast. And make sure you check out Facebook as well. And with that, we out.
Peace.